In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If you were Jewish and you lived in the first century, there were at least two places you typically did not go. On the one hand, it was forbidden to mix with the Gentiles. You could perhaps do business with them, but as a rule, the Gentiles were to be kept at a distance. It would be an unusual thing, in particular, for you to leave your Jewish home and to travel into a pagan country, extremely unusual if you happen to be a Jewish rabbi or a religious leader. Another place that you would not go to as a Jewish man or woman in the first century is to the place of tombs, the realm of the dead. The idea was that if you passed through a cemetery, you would be violating the laws of ritual purity, and anyone who would so travel in that way would then be prevented from engaging in temple worship. You could not go and offer sacrifices until you yourself were cleansed, until the correct sacrifices were offered for you. So there are these two places you did not go if you were Jewish. Pagan country? Don't go there. Cemetery? Absolutely don't go there. But the gospel reading this morning takes place exactly there. In a cemetery, in a pagan country. Think about it just for a minute from the disciples' perspectives. They must have been going bananas, right? Master, come on. Let's just stick close to home. Let's stay in Galilee. The people there are just like us. Let's not give the Pharisees any more reason to grumble or to complain. Besides, Master, you know, it's been a really rough few days. We just crossed the Sea of Galilee. There was that big storm. We all thought we were going to die. Well, everyone except you were just calmly sleeping there in the boat. And then you stood up and you commanded the winds and the waves to be still, which, by the way, Master, was really strange. But the point, Master, is that we're tired. We're scared. We have no good reason to travel further into pagan country. Oh, and there's another thing, Master. James and John, they were just checking on the maps, and you may not be aware of this, but our path right now is not really a good one. James and John seem to think that unless we change our direction, just want to let you know, Master, then pretty soon we will end up passing through the Gerasene Cemetery. And that's a no-no. So why don't we just solve two problems at once? Why don't we just turn completely around and start walking the other way? Let's avoid the tombs. Let's get out of Gerasa. But we know from the reading this morning that the Lord, of course, presses onward. He travels more deeply into Gentile territory. He enters the realm of the dead. He is confronted there by a man who is possessed by demons. This is the most unholy and godless place imaginable to the followers of Christ. But it is into this unholy and godless place that Jesus brings the power of his love and compassion, and he casts out those demons. He bestows life on one condemned to the tombs. So, brothers and sisters, in this very unusual story that we hear multiple times during the year about the demons and the swine, in it there is nothing less than a short version of the gospel itself. The Gerasene graveyard is an image of Pascha. It is an image of the great and holy Sabbath, an image of the work accomplished by our crucified Lord when he dies and when he enters hell itself, truly the most unholy and godless of places. This is an image of Holy Saturday when Christ enters the tombs of hell and destroys them for our sake. And this is really good news, right? Really good news. What could be more revolutionary? What could be more life-changing? What news could we possibly welcome more than that in Jesus Christ, God has acted decisively and has destroyed his adversaries? This news that he brings our enslavement to darkness to an end. Who could possibly hear this news and get angry? Well, we know for a fact that to almost everyone around Jesus, this news was very much not received as good news. It was bad news. Yes, our Lord, he does enter this unholy realm. Yes, he heals the demoniac. He destroys the demons by sending those 2,000 swine off a cliff. But the keepers of the swine, we are told, they run to town and they tell the Gerasenes what they've seen. And in response, the people go out to meet Jesus and they want to see what ought to be done. And the people arrive and imagine what they see. The first thing they see is that demoniac, former demoniac. They see their kinsmen, their friends, someone that they grew up with, sitting there, as Scripture says, clothed and in his right mind. On the other hand, they see the dead bodies of the swine, the symbol of their wealth and their livelihood floating now uselessly in the sea. And in that moment, they see that healing and wholeness, it is not cheap. They see that to receive the love and the forgiveness and the healing of Jesus Christ is not always an easy thing. And they could have rejoiced. This is their choice. They could have rejoiced. They could have said, "Thank you, Master. Thank you. And you know what? We have a few more friends back in town who could also really use your help." But they don't. They don't do that. They see that healing is not always pretty. They see that receiving the gift of salvation requires hard choices. And so they ask Jesus to leave. To them, the news is not good news. The gospel is too costly. They decide that they can put up with their madmen and their demons so long as they can live on the other side of town and so keep their swine a safe distance away. To Jesus, the townsfolk say thanks, but no thanks. And they send him on his way. Jesus this morning casts out demons, and the Gerasenes cast out Christ. The sin of the Gerasenes, brothers and sisters, the sin of the Gerasenes is that they have gotten used to it all. They tolerate madness and darkness by pretending that it's not there. They prefer using chains and shackles and locking up the problem people in places that are out of sight and away from respectable society. They love swine more than they love their neighbor. And even though life is pretty rotten in those places that they pretend don't exist, life in the swine district is quite profitable, certainly very comfortable, safe. We have our bank accounts, our steady income, thank you very much. We enjoy the safety of home, the safety of church, synagogue, or wherever they worshipped in pagan Gerasa. We enjoy the warmth, where the stained glass is always rose-colored, making sure that we never have to look out onto a world that actually needs a Savior. And as for the Gerasenes, this is also true for us and for all Christians. That question is so important, right? What have we gotten used to? What have we gotten used to? What problems in our homes and our families? What problems in our neighborhoods? What problems in our parish even have we learned to live with? Have we set aside the kingdom of heaven for business as usual? Clearly, we see one another face to face, but whom have we allowed to become invisible? Whose problems no longer matter to us? Where are the tombs that we refuse to visit? Who are the people who need what we have in abundance? How often do we say to Christ, "No, Master, we will not go there. We will stay where we are." How often do we cast out Christ and say the church's mission will have to continue without our help? There's nothing we can do. It's hopeless. Brothers and sisters, this morning we celebrate the Eucharistic liturgy. We give thanks to the one God and Father for the gift of salvation through his Son, for pouring out his Holy Spirit upon us and upon this world, and we choose today to receive the holy mysteries in the fear of God and with faith and in love. But on Monday, what will we choose? Will we choose salvation, or will we choose swine? And Tuesday, same choice, salvation or swine. And on Wednesday and every day of the week, will we take up the hard work? Will we take up that hard work of love, hard work of mercy, the hard work of justice? Will we open the doors of our church and our homes and our hearts to all who need what we have in abundance? Or like the Gerasenes, will we beg Jesus to depart and to go back to his own city? At the very end of this gospel reading today, it was a quiet ending, a beautiful ending. The man who had been healed is sitting at the feet of Jesus, it says. He's clothed and in his right mind. The scripture says that this man begs Jesus, "Let me follow you." And Christ says, actually, no, right? No. Return to your own house and proclaim what great things God has done for you. But interestingly, the man doesn't do exactly that. Luke says that the man went away and he proclaimed throughout the whole city not what great things God had done for him, but what great things Jesus had done for him. Luke is very specific in that change. Brothers and sisters, we have been touched by the love of God and the cross of Christ. May we do the same. May we proclaim throughout the whole city what great things Jesus has done for us. May we proclaim the good news not just at 64 Forrester at 10 a.m. on a Sunday, but like Christ, may we also seek out those forbidden cemeteries and the off-limits land around us. May we choose to share with others what they really need and what we have received in abundance. May we freely give, because we have already freely received so very much from our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.